Sorry to interrupt your conversation. So good morning, guys. So my name is Dayo, and I'm bringing God's word to us this morning. This is one of the preaches where you don't know how to start, and you don't know how to finish. Because sometimes when you preach, you plan, but yet you trust the Holy Spirit to help you. And because what we're looking at this morning, it's a call, it's an invitation, it's a promise that is in Scripture. And I want us to take us on a journey this morning. And I've titled this, The Promise of the Spirit. And bizarrely, I was not meant to preach on Galatians, but somehow there is a passage and verse in Galatians that I've actually used, because this is meant to be a standalone preach. But God is good. He kind of follows through what we've been doing in Galatians. So if you have missed Galatians, please do well to go online and listen to the messages there. So today we're looking at the promise of the Spirit. And my text is in Galatians chapter 3, from verse 14. He redeemed us so that the blessing promised to Abraham will come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, I come before you this morning, and I just ask that, Lord, take my thoughts, just have your way in this place this morning. Take all the glory, oh God. Just as I speak your word this morning, I just ask that you will breathe upon these words, oh God, and let your will be done in this place, in Jesus' name. Sometimes when you try to make an analogy in preaching, it's so difficult, because everyone will have a weakness to your analogy. But I will make one anyway. Now, can you imagine you have a mobile phone, a nice mobile phone you just bought, and all you've used that mobile phone all your life. In fact, before I even get there, for some people, this sophisticated mobile phone is in his box. For others, they've opened it, and all they've ever done with this phone is to call and to text people. But for others, they have discovered some functionalities in this phone, and they are buzzing about it because there's so much more that they have discovered, and that gets them excited. Now, I have laid a picture just to help you to see that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it is something that oftentimes people have a limited understanding of. So think of that person that got that mobile phone and all he does is just to put it in the box. I love this phone. Think of that person that just like, well, I can just text message people or I can call people. And think of somebody who has understood the functionality, so much more that he has discovered about that particular device. So today I just want to talk about, what is the promise of the Spirit? What does this mean for us as believers? And why do we go to churches and we don't see this in real time all the time? And I want to look at the journey of three people based on the promise of the Spirit. Now, if we look at Luke chapter 24, before Jesus was about to die, he said to his disciples, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, Jesus was going to die, and he said, "Look, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come and help you." And the Bible says that when Jesus died, they stayed together And they were waiting. If you look at Acts Gospel, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. Let me just read that to you very quickly. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, "You have heard me speak about, for John baptized with the water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days." And they waited. And in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, where they were filled with the Spirit. They were baptized with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now you ask yourself, why was it important for them to wait? Now I'm going to put a lot of scriptures down. I'm sorry, there's not a lot, but you might have to follow me because I just want to be the context of what we're doing this morning. In John 7, the Bible says that Jesus stood on the last day of the feast and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. For as the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters." And the Bible says that he spoke about the Spirit that they should receive, for the Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not been glorified. But when Jesus died, he was glorified. And that was why when he said to them, just wait for the promise came after Jesus had been glorified. And so when they received that in Jerusalem, that was the starting point in their lives. Here was Peter, a man that denied Jesus 3 times. Here was Peter in John 20 and 21. He abandoned Jesus. He went fishing. And then in Acts 2, something came upon Peter. His life was never the same. Something changed about him. Friends, when we talk about the promise of the Spirit, what we're talking about is an empowerment. Something comes upon our lives as Christians that helps us to live our lives in a way that we've never imagined we could live it. And that was what happened to Peter. The Bible says that when the Spirit came upon him, the same man, can you imagine Peter? A small girl said, "Surely he is one of them." And Peter said, "No, I don't know him." A small girl rattled Peter. And Peter could not even stand up to this young girl. But Acts 2 came. And they were filled. The same Peter stood. And 3,000 souls got saved. The same Peter came in Acts chapter 4. A young girl that rattled Peter. All of a sudden in Acts 4, he stood before the council of Jerusalem. I'm like, what has happened to this guy? What changed? What changed? So the promise of the Spirit refers to Jesus' assurance to his disciples that the Father will send the Holy Spirit to them after his departure. And they had to wait for this. And when it came, something happened in their lives. But why? Why then? Do we not find this in our churches today? Why? Now, the subject of the Spirit is one of the highly debated one because some people believe that there's no need for the gift of the Spirit. There's no need for this anymore. Why? Because it was only among the apostles that that happened. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 8 that Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. When you read the scripture, do you read it as a storybook? No, no, this is not a storybook. This is a living book. The Bible says that the word of God is alive and powerful. So whatever happened here is not just for them, for us to read about. It's for us to say, if it happened then, why not now? Why not? Why not now? And so we see that there's a lot of unbelief when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Oh, no. I don't want to. I just want to leave it there. I just want to come to church, just praise God, and just go. But the mobile phone has so much functionalities. It's not just texting and calling. There's so much more. There's so much more. And so we must come to him. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible says, he that comes to him must believe. In 1 Corinthians 2, 14, the Bible says, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. In Acts 2, when they were filled with the Spirit, do you know what the people said about them? They said they were drunk. You see, when something begins to happen in church, people always try to find a reason to label it somehow. Oh, no, no, I don't want that. The Bible says when they heard them, say, these guys are drunk. Peter stood. He said, no, we're not drunk. This is the promise of the Father. This is what was said. If you go to draw chapter 2, draw in the whole testament. Said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, they will prophesy. So Peter was saying to them, look, this is not people just drunk. This is the promise of the Father. And for us to have that experience, we must believe. We must believe. We must believe that he is. We must come with an expectation that he is and is able to do what he has promised. Peter, a weakling, filled with the Spirit, and something happened to him. And one of the three individuals I want to look at. Because if you go through the book of Acts, you see how Peter progressively changed. In Act 1, he waited. In Act 2, he was filled. The baptism came upon him. In Act 3, he was just going on his way. And there was a man that was lame. And the Bible says, and then he looked at him, Peter and John. He says, silver and gold we do not have, but such we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In Act 4, the same Peter stood before the council, like I said earlier, and said, no, we would rather obey God than man. And then if you go to Act 5, I believe there was this couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their land, and then they brought the proceeds to Peter. And Peter said, why have we lied? I mean, how could he know? How could he know? How? That is what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. It gives us the gift of discernment. In Acts 5 verse 12, the Bible says, the apostle performed many signs and wonders amongst the people, and all the believers used to meet together. And you look at Paul as well. The Bible says that Paul was persecuting the church, and he was going to Damascus, and he had this encounter. And when that happened, the Bible says that God sent a man called one of the apostles, Ananias, to him. And the Bible says that he prayed for Paul, and Paul received the Spirit. And from that time henceforth, his life was never the same. As a young boy, I was, I think, 12. I think I got baptized in water at 12. And that was all I knew. And I just lived my life, carried on and everything. And I think I was 17 or so. And bizarrely, I don't know why, there's always a Baptist story to everything. I grew up in the Baptist church. And got baptized at 12, you know, just carried on, knew a lot of scriptures. And then I was 17, 18, and someone came and said that there's a promise of the Spirit. I'm like, what? What's the promise of the Spirit? I have never heard of that before. And he said that in Acts 1, he said you will receive power after with the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Acts 2, the Bible said that the Spirit came upon them, and then they began to speak in other tongues. And he said, I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you guys will be speaking in tongues. I'm like, what? Tongue? What's that? I've grown up in a Baptist church all my life. I have never heard someone or anyone ever say that to me. And I'm like, this is weird. What's this? We kind of despised it. And we said, oh, no, no, this is just rubbish. And then all of a sudden, my friend began to speak in these weird tongues. And I was like, no way, you're making this up. You are making this up. There is no way. How? And I was just there speechless, and I was just watching them. I'm like, oh, these guys are fake. No, 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 no. This is just rubbish. I never believed it. I was just there the first day. So I was one of the most pessimistic person ever. And then I desired it, and then I didn't get it. I'm like, there was nothing. Nothing happened to me. And then suddenly, I remember that day as yesterday. I was somewhere in the church, and all of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues. And ever since, my life has never been the same. My life has never, ever been the same. The promise of the Spirit. So when the Spirit comes, one of the evidence is God gives us a new language. And if you're in this place this morning, you don't have a new language. Why not? Why not? Why not? Because when the Spirit of God comes upon us, if you look at Act 2, let's go to Act 2 for a minute. Let me just show you something there. Let me show you Act 2. It's not on the board, it's not on the screen, so you might have to get your Bible, hard copy, soft copy, any copy, that's fine. Act 2. The Bible says in Act 2, chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Now, verse 4 is the most important one. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues. Now, that's not the end of that story. If you read the last part, it says, as the Spirit did what? Enabled them. Some versions say, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, we're talking about something that is initiated, something that is started by the Spirit of God. It is not me. It is not anyone. The Spirit gives utterance, and all we do, we come by faith. Okay? We come by faith, as we said, it redeemed us so that the blessing promised to Abraham will come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So that by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. This is the promise of the Spirit. And in Act 1, they waited for the promise. And in Act 2, verse 4, the promise came. And they began to speak. And ever since, we do not have to wait. Why? Because Jesus has been glorified. And that brings me to John 7. In John 7, and Jesus stood on the last day of the feast. And he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. For the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters. So how do we receive this promise of the Spirit? Just come. Just come. Just come. That is all we have to do. Just come. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Peter came. Paul came. I got to a point in my life, I said, okay, I want to receive this. And something happened to my life. And it was the start of a journey for me many, many years ago. So this morning, if I ask you, do you want to receive the Spirit? No, I won't ask that question. I'm going to ask, who is thirsty? Who needs more? I've got more by far. I'm going to put it in the box. I'm not going to be texting and messaging alone. There's so much more. There's so much more. And that's the more I'm looking for. Because I am not content. I want more. I want more. I want more. And if you're in this place this morning, and you're like, what's this guy saying? If it's the first time, you're most welcome. You came at the right time. Okay. In fact, I had Terry Vogel spoke about a story of, I think when he was quite young, there was this lady who brought a friend, and she was never a Christian. And Terry just spoke to both of them about the promise of the Spirit. And then the lady said, okay, I'm ready. And she was just a believer for 20 minutes. And then she just received the promise of the Spirit. And she began to speak in tongues after 20 minutes. Now, if you're in this place, I know, oh, you can say, oh, you know what? What's the point? Guys, the point is this. That there's so much more in God. And today, I want us to get to a point where we say, we want all of it. We want all of it. We want all of it. Not some. Not looking at that in the box and say, oh, look at how nice. Oh, Christianity is so wonderful, so special. Oh, look at it. Oh, I can text. Oh, I can call. Oh, how wonderful. There's so much more. There's so much more. How could you not want more? How could we not want more of God? How could we not come and say, Lord, if there is more, I want it now. If it is true that he baptizes with the Spirit, and when he comes, he gives utterance, and we begin to speak in other tongues, what have I got to lose? The Bible says that if evil men knows how to give good gift to their children, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And friends, the reason why we're asking for this is because, and I just sensed this when I was worshiping earlier, that there are a few people in this place that you need the baptism of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. Because in your place of work, in what you do, something has got to change about you. Something has got to change about you. Because Peter was a reed shaken. Peter was somebody that could not even stand up to a girl. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, something changed about his life. We can't carry on like this. I just sense that you will say this morning, I want all of it. And friends, it's not just speaking in tongues that we are after. Something must happen. When something happened in your life, you will go out there and they will say, if you look at, if you have the time to read Act 4, do you know what it's, the council that Peter was speaking to? The Bible says, when Peter finished talking, do you know what they did? They're like, is this not the same Peter? The Bible says that they took notice. If you check out the scripture, say they were stunned and they realized that he had been with Jesus. Peter was not the most educated man ever. But when the Bible said in Acts 4, he was filled with the Spirit. And then he began to speak. And they looked at him that there's something different about this man now. And they realized that he had been with Jesus. Friends, men must know that we have been with Jesus. They must know that something happened to our lives. Something changed about us. And if you have not really experienced that fullness, that refreshingness, you have an opportunity this morning. And like I said, I don't know how I'm going to start. I don't know how I'm going to finish. I don't know even what I've said make any sense to you this morning. But if there's any sense that this will make to you this morning, it's in John 7, and Jesus stood. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. The first thing we can do is to come. In Matthew 5, the blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be. Can you complete it for me? They shall be filled. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So if you're in this place this morning and you can't receive the promise of the Spirit if you don't know the Spirit himself. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you have come at the right time. You can't live your life like this anymore. There is no way you cannot continue like this. Now, I'm talking to someone here this morning. You cannot continue like this. No, you can't. So that's you. That there's a category of people you have to say, Lord, come into my heart this morning. And there's another category that says, I need more. Something has got to just switch, change in my life this morning. And when I leave this place, I know that something changed about me. And how do we receive? Very quickly, if you look at Act 8, but I won't read that. The Bible talks about that when Peter and John went somewhere to preach. I think it was Philip in Samaria. Peter and John went to Samaria and they asked the guys there, have you received the Spirit? And then they said they haven't. And the Bible says that Peter and John laid their hands on them. And then they received the Spirit. In Acts 9, verse 12, when Paul was converted, the Bible says that Ananias laid his hands on him and he received the Spirit. In Acts 19, verse 6, the Bible says that Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Spirit. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, Paul said, do not neglect the gift of God in you, which is given to you by the laying on of hands. So we can see a pattern there, that oftentimes through laying of hands, through praying for people, there's a release of the Spirit of God upon that person. But also, in Acts 10, as Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, the Bible said that the Spirit of God fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues. So this is not a one-off. This is not a preach that is just for this Sunday. This is where we want to be. A Spirit-filled church. A church that goes for it all the time. A church that is always looking for more. Why? If all we receive our salvation is all there is to be, then what's the point? But I beg to differ. There's so much more in God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. He said, we all with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord. We have been transformed from one glory to another. Come nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. There's so much more. Paul said, how deep and unsearchable are the things of God. His ways are past finding out. For those who are married, for 40 years, you've not even known your partner. How much more the Spirit of God? How much more? I can't remember. I don't think I've ever been married now. 2009. About 16 years. And yes, every day I'm like, getting to know this woman. She's getting to know me as well. And yet, we have the Spirit of God. When we, the deeper we go, the more we know. That's my point. The more we know of him.